to you by Barfoot and Thompson.
Kia ora and welcome to Property Matters. We're taking a break this week, but we found one of our favourite episodes for you to listen to, so here it is now. And it's November, that Christmas countdown. Now, are you one of those families that has thawed out Mariah Carey already and starting the Christmas music? I have just loved all the social media with that happening. I'm going to ask our two guests before we even get into anything. Are you already into the Christmas theme, or are you like me and 1st of December is when I allow that in my house?
I'm guilty. I've already put up the Christmas tree. I've got the music going.
You're kidding.
Can't help it. I just need that energy. It only comes once a year, but
I can bring
it a bit quicker.
Okay, Mon, what about you?
I probably is the last people to pull the tree out.
Last, okay.
Yeah, but I love to do that, you know, after the school finished, to do that with the kids, decorated the house. And this year we're probably not going to put a tree out because we're going back home to China.
Oh, nice. All right, we'll chat about that a little later. But I did love it. I thought it was quite hilarious. So welcome along, team. Great to have you here representing the North Shore and beyond, I guess, sort of over the Harbour Bridge in Auckland. And people listening from around the country today, don't panic. They're going to have some great tips and tricks regardless of where you live. So first of all, Amon, kick it off with you. Just tell us a little bit about your current role. What's your job?
So my name is Amon Tu. I'm the property management new business manager for Bronze Bay branch of Barfoot & Thompson. My role is obviously the new business side of it. So I prospect and also sign up new clients for rentals, and I advertise the property for rent and help them to secure a tenant. So that's the main focus of my role, is to the BDM side, business development, and look after all the new clients and settle them down.
And how long have you been working in the property management area?
Take the time back. I think it's about 14 years now.
Oh, brilliant. What is it that you love about property management so much to keep you in there for 14 years?
Over the 14 years, I have experienced quite a bit career shift. I was started as an admin and then into the property manager role, and then I jumped to sales for probably about 6 months.
Great decision.
Yeah, I love it. And then, for some reason, got back to property management and tried the different positions. And I have to say that I love what I'm doing now. I love my job. I love my role with Barfoot & Thompson Bronze Bay.
Brilliant. Yeah. What were you doing before real estate?
Before real estate, so obviously I did property management, did sales, and before that I have worked in hospitality for a long period of time. Ever since I come to New Zealand, I probably from the second year I start to struggle financially as a young kid. I was like, I need to work on something, and then that's how I get into the first hospitality job and in a Chinese restaurant. And I worked there, and then I moved to a restaurant called Peppermint Cafe in Maranga Bay. So I worked there for about 6 years. That's my whole uni period. I was working part-time there till I graduated, and then finally started my first full-time job, and that's the admin role in the property management company. So yeah, I was in hospitality for a long period of time. Yeah.
Brilliant. So you're used to that customer service sort of facing role.
That's right. And also the fast pace, because with restaurants you got to get the order sorted, get the dish onto the table, make sure your customers are happy. Yeah.
Brilliant. All right. Stephen, take us back. How long have you been in?
Mon is one of the hardest workers out there. You can see that hospo experience. I dabbled in it just out of school, but the the energy you have to bring in hospo, I can see how it translates so well into that property management sphere. So I think it's so special. We're so very, very lucky to have it at Browns Bay. Very special.
Oh. Thank you.
You can pay him later.
Yeah, she gave me $20 before coming into here. So.
No, that was cheap.
Oh, no, I paid you a mil.
Property managers make the big bucks, that's right.
So tell us about your journey in real estate. How long have you been a salesperson? So
I don't have the exact same experience. I've only been in it for, it's my second year now. Mm-hmm. So I joined Barfoot. Originally, I was in website sales. Loved what I got to do. Loved pitching in front of companies and getting in front of people. I just wanted something a bit more tangible. And properties are the most tangible thing I think you can sell. So I loved getting out and meeting people, discovering what made them tick, who they are, and then using their interests, using their passions to create that relationship. You know, what can I find in common? What do we both enjoy? And talking about that, building that relationship first and foremost, and then that relationship and those relationships have turned out to be some amazing clients. And just stepping into that space of selling their homes has always been so special because it's such a precious asset, right?
Obviously, you've had a background in sales. What was that moment, though, that you went, okay, I'm ready for that switch?
Oh, if my manager's listening, and he didn't pay me anything, but Darren James, we caught up for coffee, and he just laid it out. He explained that process of what it was going to look like from that first month in to a year in to 5 years to 10 years, what that was going to look like.
Great.
And I was so grateful for that because it suddenly became a plausible idea of stepping out from website sales into this new role and selling houses.
I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. From a career point of view, it is a bit of a gamble when you first go in. And, you know, you're without income for a bit. But, you know, looking on the website, you've got 7 properties up for sale already. Are you doing well? Are you enjoying this ride so far?
I'm enjoying this ride so far.
Is it as scary as they said it would be?
It's scary.
Yeah.
It requires quite a few late nights, quite a few early starts. There's never enough time in the day. I think we could all agree to that. But at the end of the day, it's something I love. And if you don't love what you're going to do, you're going to tire out real quickly. I see a lot of new agents join and not make it past that first year. And so it says a lot that, A, you have to find if it's a passion of yours, but also how are you going to sustain it? So how are you going to get that new business? How are you going to create those clients? Because for me, I realized I was going to have to start selling something or else I didn't have any money coming through. So it was a moment where I had to switch from going, I'm not anymore getting a paycheck, I'm not getting a salary, so what am I going to do differently to start getting that new business, even though I've only been in it for a month or 2 months, whatever it may have been.
So your advice to anyone thinking of starting out, they've got to be pretty self-motivated, don't they?
Totally, yeah. And I think your motivation can only come so much from other people. You've actually got to find it in yourself to go, do I want this badly enough? Is this something I can see myself doing for the next 5-10 years? And when you find it in yourself, that's when that motivation turns into discipline and you're able to lock yourself down and go, yep, I'm pushing for this, I'm going to go for this. The late nights, the early mornings, the stressful moments, it all becomes worth it because, A, you love it, but also it starts to yield results.
We talked a little bit before we went on air around your age and, you know, is that an advantage or a disadvantage to be young coming into this space, or is it a bit of both?
It's a bit of both.
Yeah.
No, I'd be lying if I said it was a complete advantage.
So tell us the advantages.
I think the advantage is I see some agents and I'm surrounded by so many experienced and really good agents out there, but sometimes they lose that passion, that drive after doing it for 10, 15, 20 years. And what's nice is I'm coming into it with that passion, that energy. You know, I'm excited about your property. When you're selling your home, it's only going to be once every maybe 10 years. You want someone that's excited about your property. If they're not, then how are they going to, A, get a premium price, but B, also just to sell it? You know, you need someone that's going to be actively, especially in this market. If you don't have an agent who's actively working for your property, we're not seeing them sell.
I'm going to ask you both this question around your training. So talk us through what training you've had to get to this point as a salesperson.
Please. So I jumped on to Skills, which is an online school. All the courses are done on there, so it's done by a module, and so you get signed off module by module. And they take you through the sales and purchase agreement. They take you through the REA guides. They take you through a range of the legalities, but also the practicalities, that's the word I'm looking for, of just what it looks like to become an agent and what you need to know. But it was good. As soon as I finished that, I stepped into my role at Browns Bay. But what was good is I had a manager who was there basically holding my hand, yeah, if I'm being really honest. Because you're selling someone's, you know, $1 million asset. You want someone that, A, knows what they're talking about, and truthfully I didn't know when I was a month in, so it's good having my managers just hold their hand show me how to do it, and if there were any questions, any hurdles, any hiccups, they were there just to pick me up and keep that momentum going.
Brilliant. Mon, what about you? What training's in the space for property management? Because we're not regulated, but you need to know your stuff because there's fines and things involved if you get it wrong.
Yep. There's a lots of a regulation involved in property management, and as a property manager, you kind of need to know a little bit of everything: health and the safety side, the privacy act, and also residential tenancy act, healthy home, all that regulations. So, how I come across all those, I learned from my job to start with, because I started from a different company, and I learned everything from the manager at the time, and also just learned from the practical side of the job. Early days, you make a mistake, you learn from it, and that's how you build up everything, all the experience. And then ever since I joined Buffett Thompson, we also has that training program, Elevate. So I went through the whole program, got my certificate, and I think that really sharpened my knowledge as well by, you know, the professional, all the, you know, I put everything into a more formal and organized way. So I think that's how I get all my my training from. And again, constantly learn from the role, and keep dated with the current regulations and all that.
Because with 14 years experience, you've seen some regulation changes, especially in the last 4 years.
You will see the regulation has changed a lot. So like when we started back to 14 years ago, there was no regulation about healthy home, smoke alarm, and there was no requirements for inspection frequency, all that. And you can see the government slowly introduced that insurance, start to put in place that, or they need inspection every 3 months or every 4 monthly, depends on their policy wording. And then healthy home comes in 2019, and the smoke alarm compliance, all that. So the government really has tried to tighten the market.
Is there anything you miss from the old days?
No, I think all by doing all that, you know, from the job perspective, of course, you know, old days is probably easier. But now with everything regulation come in place, I think it's helped to regulate the market, the rental market, and it's helped the tenants to provide a better home for them. And also it's protect the investor, to protect the investment. So they protect the value of the property. When they come to sell one day, the value is still there. And also, you know, they can hold on to the rental market longer by maintaining the property well. So I think it's definitely a positive way of doing that. It doesn't make our job tighter, but that's why we need a property manager.
Yeah, a bit more paperwork.
Oh, I love paperwork.
So Stephen, tell us about the current, I guess, market or landscape on the North Shore and beyond. What's it looking like at the moment?
Yeah, well, obviously I've only come in with now, this is my second year.
It's an interesting time to come on.
It's a very interesting, could have picked a bad time to come and sell houses, but that's all right.
Although sometimes, you know, if you can make it in the hardest market, then those easy times are going to be easy for you.
Well, that's what I thought. I think going into it, I was, if I can learn in this hard market, then hopefully in the good market, yet to fully experience that, then it'll be a really, really good market to be selling. But yeah, more specifically to, I'd say, north of the bridge, what we're seeing, definitely, and talking to my colleagues in the office, because again, it's about sharing those experience, sharing that, having those conversations of other agents touching base, how they're feeling, how they're going with the market. The biggest thing is just noticing the inquiries just going up, and even looking into, I think I was reading something off realestate.co.nz saying, I think a 25% increase just in the last month of just inquiries coming up, and seeing those buyers come back to the market is really, really exciting, because at the end of the day, only takes so many inquiries to get that viewing and only so many viewings to get that sale. There's a lot more questions, a lot more careful buyers out there, which is great. And they've been educated, they're cautious. But they're still coming to the open homes, they're still inquiring. That's great. Really, really good to see.
Are you seeing investors, or is it more people wanting to just live in?
It's a lot of mums and dads. Yep. From what I'm personally experiencing at the moment, I'm seeing a lot of mums and dads upsizing, downsizing. I can say popular school zones are also, so from the Westlake, the Rangitoto school zone, very popular areas. And mums and dads are trying to get into those spaces, and that's always going to be a popular space.
Yeah.
And that's always going to have demand for it, whatever market you're trading in.
So I guess now's a good time if you're thinking of selling and you're in a popular school zone, as people are trying to sort of plan their the fresh start to a new year.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of, well, you think as a parent, you want to have your kids in before the new year. So either you're going to sell as soon as the new year comes, or you're hopefully you're hopping on the market very, very shortly. I don't think we have too much time. It's Christmas, I think, in 51 days. There we are.
See,
I'm counting down the days.
Again. He's going to start singing before the end of the show. I can feel it. Mon, is it the same for you in that North Shore market, that you notice things like school zones push up the rental price, so it's a good investment area to be buying in?
Yes, definitely. School zones are always popular for tenants, and because they want to put their kids into the back schools. And even though the rental market is a bit slow at the moment, from my perspective, from what I can see in the North Shore area, the market is slow. It's just because we have so many people that going overseas.
Right.
And I've seen the stat says that every three people, every one people come to New Zealand, there's actually three people leaving at the moment.
Wow.
So we're facing a little bit challenging on the rental market at the moment. But I would say school zones, condition of the property still host a strong market. Yeah. Mm.
And from a, I guess, quality of tenant, if I can be so bold to say that, it's from an investment point of view, do you find the North Shore, you get sort of a high standard of people wanting to live in these homes because they are the big families going to the colleges, etc. So therefore the property's been well looked after, or am I just really stereotyping Auckland at the moment?
I think in the Bays and in some of the North Shore, yes, you do get a high quality tenant, and then people has a high living standard, and especially around the school zone, so you get lots of families looking to rent, and as a family you can appreciate that they want a home. And so they're really looking into details, the layout of property, the condition of the kitchen and the bathroom, the functioning of every single part, indoor, outdoor flow, all that. So yes.
I back my statement up by saying, if you look at the stats, there's far less tenancy tribunal applications on the North Shore than any other part in Auckland.
Yes.
Which has got to mean that there's less arrears and there's less damage.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Both of you work out of Browns Bay. Tell us, Mon, about Browns Bay as an area. Why is that a nice place to live in? Because you've lived in this surrounding areas for a while.
Yes. So when I first come to New Zealand, like 22 years ago, I lived in Glenville. That's my first home where I started. And then 2011, I moved to Torbay. That's where I start to know Browns Bay a little bit more. And after explore the area around Torbay, Browns Bay, and obviously Browns Bay offer quite a bit. So you have the beach over there, all the shops and all the eateries and supermarket close by, and of course the school around it. So after that I moved to Torbay, I get to know Browns Bay a bit more. And then 2 years ago I joined the Browns Bay branch, and that has deepened the knowledge and appreciate the community a bit more, and by get more close-knit contact with the local people, like the business owner. And we actually have those dog owner come to our office and just for the dog treat.
Right.
So that's
you're a pet special.
Pet-friendly
branch.
It's a yeah. for any branch. And I think there was a dog called Maddie, and at the end there's a Holly. They come quite often just for treats. And so I love to see all that.
The amount of times I walk into the office and there'll be dogs running around. I'm like, what is this, a zoo? But no, it's really, really special.
I love it. And correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen, but it feels like Brown Space still got that real community vibe. You kind of drive in and feel like it's still almost a village, if you like. It's got the shops, it's got the beaches, it's got the playgrounds, it's got the schools. But it does feel like you've driven into it rather than some suburbs you just whiz by 100 miles an hour. Am I right? Is that the vibe to you?
I think it's very fair. What I do appreciate about it is the people there, like you've mentioned, it's a very, very warm community. When I think about where to buy, where to, you know, even if it's an investment property, if you're buying in Browns Bay, you're buying into a really, really good community. And there's going to be that, and Mon can probably back me up on that, is the people trying to get into that community are typically also really, really nice people.
Yeah.
Really, and with the community of well, where there's demand to be in a good community, we see the housing prices go up. And Browns Bay as a whole is a really, really nice suburb because you're surrounded by so many amazing, amazing people. So I feel very, very fortunate to be working for Barford and Thompson Browns Bay.
So it's a nice segue there. You just, you know, mentioned the price is going up. What are some of the common trends or current trends you're seeing in the market?
Well, like I said, I've only been doing this for, as my second year. But what I go to and what I talk about in my appraisals is you just look at Browns Bay as a whole. Talking to buyers, you look at Browns Bay, we've seen it over doubled in terms of the last 10 years of where that, what the housing price, what the house price was 10 years ago and what it is now. It's a growing market, and it's a market that doesn't seem to slow down because, A, it's surrounded by good school zones, but like you mentioned, it's got those good communities. So even in a slowing market, you've still got mums and dads out there who still want a good place to raise their kids because at the end of the day, money's good, property's good, but family is super, super important. I think most people could agree with that.
Brilliant. What do you think, Mon, makes a good investment property? If someone's listening thinking, oh, okay, I've got a bit of money, I'm going to jump on Stephen's profile and look at a property, property on the shore. What makes a good investment property?
I think a good investment property, what the investors are looking at is the return on the investment. So as an investor, one of the key things, what's the return on investment? So how to hold that return on investment, how to hold a high return on investment, you need to make sure that there's a probably different perspective, you know, whether you're looking for a long-term investment on the land banking or you're looking on a investment has brings you more of a cash flow back to the business. So let's say if we're looking at a higher cash flow situation, then you probably want to make sure that you're looking for a quality home, and it's probably a smaller land, but you can have a higher rental return on that. So like those built-to-rent property, I would say that is quite a good investment for people that's looking for a higher cash flow back situation. Yeah.
And from a tenant perspective, is there a certain type of house that you've got a bit of shortage for? Like, is it still the three-bedroom with the dishwasher, the garage close to a good school? Is it just that, or are our tenants now actually fussier and looking for more detail when they walk around the property?
I think for tenants, they're looking for a home. They're looking for a clean, tidy, well-maintained home. That's the key things. Doesn't matter that it's a home that's like three-story townhouse or it's a home that with a bigger backyard for the kids and the family or even a dog to running around. And there's a different need in there. There's a tenant that they want a low maintenance but newish, modern interior, and there's also tenants that they can appreciate a bigger garden, but maybe a slightly higher maintenance on that. But then does it give them a place for the kids and the family to grow up? Yeah,
okay, so still
it's
a
different need on either side of it. Yeah, it's about how we position the poverty on the market. The rents that we're asking, the advert we put in place, and how we communicate with people when they come to view the property. Yeah, how you guide them as well.
How often should a current landlord review the rent on the property?
Well, with the current regulation, it says that every 12 months we can review the rent. So, yeah, we normally generally we will put that to the 10 months mark. So the 10 months we will review the rent, and then because we got to serve 60 days notice to the tenant as well, so that just allowed us.
I've had landlords ask me, though, you know, I've got a really good tenant, I don't want to risk them leaving, so I'm just going to leave the rent as it is. Meanwhile, my mortgage is going up, the insurance is going up. What do you say to that landlord who's scared to get rid of, well, not get rid of, is scared to put up rent on a really good tenant?
We will still do a market rental review, and we will give our opinions to the landlord. So based on the market review, we believe that the property is probably worth $20 more, for example. Mm. And then we put that recommendation to the landlord. And then if the landlords appreciate the tenant, want to keep the tenant there long term, you know, we're happy to work with the landlord to find the right balance in between.
Mm. So you'd encourage your tenants to speak up if they go, look, this is just a bit beyond my budget, and try and maybe meet in the middle.
Yeah, something like that. I think that's a good way.
Yeah, cool.
Meet in the middle. Yeah.
All right. Stephen, what about first home buyers? Mm. You know, not looking for an investment property, but just looking to live on the shore for themselves. Is that possible in today's market?
Certainly plausible.
What advice would you give them if they're looking at the shore for a first home? Is there certain suburbs that are better? Is there a certain type of house?
Mm. The first thing I'd say is there's so much advice out there. There's so much free good advice from people. Talk to experts in their industry. If you're considering buying in the next 12 months, then you need to be having a conversation with a mortgage broker, finding maybe a property lawyer at some stage, and ideally you'd be wanting to work with an agent. Speaking just, I guess, into what it looks like working with an agent is a good agent's hopefully going to provide you properties in your price range, provide you feedback, maybe disclosures on those properties, and also give you a better price expectation on where those properties are sitting. I know the frustration of first-time buyers is they can't always see what the owners are wanting or understand where the value is. The idea of an agent working with you is they'll hopefully be able to provide a bit more clarity on that price and know if it's within your budget or if it's not.
Mm. Now, if it's not a first-home buyer but a first-home investor, does any of that information shift?
Oh, I think the big thing there is you definitely work with the agent, because the agent is going to know your exact... typically what I find is investors have a very specific property that they're looking for, and it sometimes does work when you're talking to the property managers and seeing if anything's coming up, if anyone's looking to sell. But I think, again, what's great about real estate agents is they're constantly talking and they're talking with other agents, and, oh, they've got this property that might be coming on, and you can say, oh, look, I've got an investor, he's got this much budget, he's looking for this many bedrooms, and that's the whole point as an agent, is to represent you out there and find that right property for you. And yeah, I'd really encourage any investors listening, is if you are looking for an investment property, talk to an agent, because who knows, they might just have something waiting there, it's coming in 3 months, but they might bring it onto the market a bit earlier if you have that conversation.
Brilliant. And if it's the first time investor, Mon, and they're thinking, I need to save money and just manage it myself, what do you say against that? Why should they still get it managed?
Definitely need to get a property manager involved. And then actually something I want to point back to what Stephen has mentioned in his conversation is, investors, they need to get a property manager involved into their investment plan earlier stage.
Right.
That's from years of experience. I have seen so many things went wrong that after they purchased a property, they said, Mon, I purchased, it's unsettled, that's a settlement date, there's a tenant there already, you can just go ahead and manage it, it's an easy job. I said, it's not easy, because we actually want to see all the document, what tenancy agreement actually in place, and what, you know, the condition of the property, is that actually all compliance, all that, because otherwise you may actually take on a problem.
Yeah.
I have a common course case just recently. As an investor client bought a property, and they only get engaged with us after the settlement. And we request for all the tenancy agreement and compliance document from the vendor side. And after we reviewed everything, the tenancy agreement was signed really simple page with not much details in there. There was nothing even mentioned about is a pet permitted or not.
Right.
So that's opened a huge risk to the purchaser, because you purchase the tenants over, the tenancy over. So whatever the condition in the tenancy agreement, you have to take that on. We're not really able to make a change to it unless the tenant agrees to that. So that's what I try to tell investor is get your property manager or, you know, try to find a property manager, engage into that process earlier.
Right from the start.
So we can guide you on that.
Yeah. That's why Barfoot is such a good company to have your properties with, is because there's so much unity flowing between sales and the property management team.
Yes.
It allows for your asset to be taken care of well instead of having it disjointed with two different parties trying to look after it.
Absolutely. Mm. And switching completely now, what if you're a tenant? Tenants listening to the show, they want to apply for a property on the North Shore. What makes a good tenant application come together?
Yes. So with the Buffett Thompson, we obviously using our own application portal, which is IRE system, and the tenant has to put their application online. One of the biggest struggles that I actually come across is that they don't complete the application properly. They're often missing information, missing contact details for their references, or they attached a proof of income, but they did not even list their employment histories in the application at all. And so my advice is to answer all the questions as much as possible, attach additional documents, and also if you have a pet, just make sure you detailed everything, the what type of pet, what's the age of it, the breed of it, or if you have a pet CV, that's probably a really good idea to have one. Attach a photo of it. They're all going to help the property manager and the landlord to make their decision on your application.
Brilliant. How long does it take from the, you know, turning around an application these days? Or is that very much dependent on the owner and the property and getting it all approved? You know, is it different per property?
It is different per property, and also depends on how many applications we received for that particular property. But for us, you know, as soon as we receive the application, we will start the process. If you're marked as a preferred applicant, we'll send all the references out. It usually take a day or two for all the references to come back. If any of your references is not coming back to us, we will do that follow-up, or we will let you know that your references haven't got back to us. So for us, on our side, I think it takes only a few days for us to complete that, and then we pass that on to the owner to make the final decision.
Now, warning for tenants out there, lots of scammers at the moment, so being very careful to only deal with licensed people, and if you're unsure, go physically to the branch before sending any money over. Lots of stories in the news on the weekend of tenants that have had conversations on Facebook Marketplace with who they think is the real owner, convincing you to go to an actual viewing run by staff members, and then turning up, doing the viewing, and then being contacted back by that person, by the scammer, to say, hey, I can do a better price than what Barfoot and Thompson are recommending. If you rent through me directly, we can knock $50 off a week. And people are signing up and giving away their money to scammers. They've got to be really careful, don't they?
And we never ask tenants to pay the moving cost until they being offered for the property and sign the tenancy agreement.
And you know, check out that tenancy agreement's definitely come from the person that you've been dealing with. Yeah, very sad seeing that, because they're turning up to collect their keys on moving day and discovering they don't have a house. It's tragic. But yeah, got to watch it, especially, and there's a lot of these Facebook forums and groups now to keep an eye out. So tell us, Stephen, if we're thinking of getting our house ready over summer to sell, what are some of your top tips to make the house look ready?
First things first, invite me for a beer. Well, yeah, it's always a good place to start. Look, if you are...
You'll bring the Christmas music.
And me.
Yeah, and Mon. You'll both come through for the beer. First things first, I'd say is, if you're looking to sell within even a year, it's helpful to have an appraisal straight away. And then even if it's 6 months, 9 months down the track, when you sell, you get another appraisal, you can see how much the market's moved. And this is why I'm telling a lot of people, hey, look, even if you're not selling this side of the year, but you're looking to sell in June next year, then get one now get one in 3 months and then get one in just before June, just to see whether the market's fluctuating, if it's going up, going down.
Yeah.
I just see a lot of people when they're ready to sell that they're getting a bunch of appraisals from a bunch of random agents who sometimes, sadly, are inflating that appraisal price just to win a listing.
Yeah.
But if you're educating yourself on where your home's value stands by getting an appraisal at the start and in 3 months and then 6 months, you can really hold it to the agent and go, well, you said 3 months ago and this was then and that.
Mm.
And you're just able to make a more informed decision on where the value of your property stands.
And physically, you know, is this time to sort of get the gardens under control?
If you call me, I will come through and help with the water blasting. That's my promise to your listeners.
All right. Stephen's water blasting service.
Yeah, there you are. Yeah. No, look, I would recommend, especially over summers, a bit of build up over the winter, get the place water blast, get the outside cleaned up, get your lawns mowed, getting those photos done while it's nice and warm and dry. Again, even if it is down the track where you're listing, getting everything done preemptively while the weather's good. But also considering things like if you've got any holes in the wall, funny enough, even if it's a really, really nice place, the amount of times you see cracks in the paint or there's a hole there, just some minor touch-ups, that's the time to do it. And finally, if you've got the picture frames, if you can just remove a couple of those. Some people love their picture frames, and I love seeing your grandchildren as well, but I would just recommend...
One photo will do,
photo will do, not
every beach holiday. Love it. How do you choose a good salesperson? Now, I mean, obviously, you know, you're going to promote yourself, but, you know, if someone's out there looking, is it... It's such a relationship you've got to have with this person because you are trusting over your biggest asset.
Totally. If you're looking for a sales agent, just go Google Stephen Reed. No. What I'd recommend is start with asking them questions and just see how they're answering them. See, A, the information. Are they informative? Are they able to help you? Because I consider myself more as a consultant. I'm there to help consult on the process, give you the different plausible outcomes, and then let you make the decision.
Right.
Give you advice along the way. Realistically, we're going to be working together for at least 3 months. You know, it's from sign up to settlement. It's normally about 3 months. Mm. So you need to get on with the person, but you also want someone with that passion and that energy. So I'd encourage you to get a few appraisals from more than one agent,
right,
just to see the difference between the different selling styles, the ways they carry themselves is so important.
And is that similar for property management?
Yes. I would say a good property manager, you need to be knowledgeable with all the regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to maintain a clean and a good structure of your workflows, and also able to deal with a conflict in a very calm mindset.
Mm.
So I consider property manager as a mediator.
Mm-hmm.
So a mediator between the two parties. And how you deliver the message to both parties is important. And you have to do it in a very thoughtful way. We try to resolve the problem. We try to bridge in the gap. We not try to create more conflict. Mm. And also we try to make sure it's a stress-free management for the client, for the landlord, so they can focus on the other things in their life.
Brilliant.
And for the tenants, you want to have the service there to provide the good service. They feel like the service from the property manager, and they appreciate that, and then they will look after the home, and then as well help the landlord as well to maintain their long-term investment.
Great.
Yeah.
I've only got a couple of minutes left, so I'm going into property matters. Quick fire round. Are you ready? Stephen, auctions, tender, or put a price up?
I'm going to sound like the most stereotypical agent, but it depends on your property. The best way to do it is get an agent around and ask them, what they think, and get more than one opinion.
Okay, somebody new coming into the industry, into sales, would you recommend they join a team or go solo? What's the best sort of learning environment?
Join an agency big enough to give you the right training. There's too many boutique agencies that may not be able to offer you that training that you need and deserve. But I would also recommend, if you can jump on a team, and make sure you've got a good manager. I work under Harvey Zhang a lot of the time, and he's phenomenal, just the training that he gives me. So I highly recommend having those conversations with multiple different managers again, and just seeing which one you gel with the best.
Good. Mon, top advice if someone's selling a property that's tenanted, so selling with an existing tenant in, any advice?
Selling with an existing tenant is the communication with the tenant is the key. Make sure the property manager, the salespeople, all communicate with the tenant promptly, and make sure the tenant is not, you know, stressed out about the whole situation. Explain the whole process with the tenant clearly, and set up the time, the open home, all that with the tenant together. Make sure they're comfortable with that, and yeah, and keep the tenant informed along the way.
Brilliant. Favorite Christmas song?
All I Want for Christmas Is You. Is
that? Oh, that wasn't that sweet.
No, no.
Yeah. Had to say it, didn't he? I'm not going to ask you because you're not putting up your tree until a couple of days out.
Oh.
Thank you so much, Mon and Stephen from Buffett and Thompson, Browns Bay. You can head to buffett.co.nz/Browns Bay to find out all about them. Check out Stephen's properties, and Mon's up there for property management. Any other ways they can get in touch with you?
Stephen_Reed_realestate on Instagram. A lot of my content's up there. I give a lot more advice for followers to chicken.
Right, Mon.
And we have our Instagram, which is a Browns Bay rental, Buff and Thompson Browns Bay rental, and you'll find me there.
Brilliant. Good. Thanks so much, guys. Hey, next week we've got the fabulous Jamie James back in the studio to discuss your financial roadmap. Great conversation to have if you're thinking of investing. Have a fabulous week. Count how many times you hear Mariah Carey. See you next week. Need